Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
For a little over a half a year now, we've been studying verse by verse through the Sermon on the Mount, which is a sermon about righteousness in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. The long-awaited king had arrived, and the first question is, what are the standards for behavior in this kingdom, for the citizens of this kingdom? And the short answer is, they're basically the same as the Old Testament. But it takes a whole sermon to explain that. Jesus has to preach this whole Sermon on the Mount to explain what the Old Testament meant and how to apply it, because the scribes and the Pharisees had done such a terrible job at interpreting and applying the Old Testament. And so Jesus is correcting them. And he's just giving one misapplication after another and then corrects it. And one of their misapplications of the Old Testament came from the eye for an eye commandment, which appears three times in the Old Testament. They interpreted that commandment. It was a good law, but they interpreted it and applied it in the wrong way. They applied it in a way that allowed for vengeance in the human heart in personal relationships. And so Jesus is especially going after the heart in this sermon. And so he picks up on that. In verse 38, Jesus just puts a stick of dynamite under that approach and just blows it to bits. You have heard it was said, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. So don't retaliate. Don't return a slap for a slap. Don't return an insult for an insult, or a cold shoulder for a cold shoulder, or a bad mood for a bad mood, or a sharp tone for a sharp tone. When someone is inconsiderate or towards us, or hurts us, or offends us in our flesh, we want to make them pay in some way, and Jesus says, don't. Don't. Dietrich Bonhoeffer has some interesting insights about all that. He observes that when you get into a fight, most of the energy that your opponent is using to hurt you is drawn from you, from your resistance. If you don't resist and you don't retaliate, their offensive effort tends to just lose its steam. It's just no fun to wrestle against somebody who's not wrestling back, right? If you can imagine a bee that would miraculously get a new stinger if you swatted it. If it stings you and you just leave it alone, then it just stings you and its stinger is drawn and it dies. But if you swat it, it miraculously gets a new stinger and can sting you again. That's kind of what evil is like in people that hurt you. It gets recharged by your resistance. Here's what Bonhoeffer said. He said, the only way to overcome evil is to let it run itself to a standstill because it does not find the resistance it's looking for. Resistance merely creates further evil and adds fuel to the flames. But when evil meets no opposition and encounters no obstacles, but only patient endurance, its sting is drawn, and at last it meets an opponent which is more than its match. Then evil cannot find its mark. It can breed no further evil and is left barren. Evil becomes a spent force when we put up no resistance. By refusing to pay back the enemy in his own coin, and by preferring to suffer without resistance, violence stands condemned by its failure to evoke counterviolence. Now, I think that's a good insight, and it's very biblical. Proverbs 26:21, as charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. When you resist, when you participate in the quarrel, you're just putting fuel on the fire. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. Patience can just cool things down. Proverbs 17:14, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. So participating in a fight just fuels the fire, and those of you who maybe like a good fight, Proverbs 17:19, he who loves a quarrel loves sin. So, we don't resist. We don't fight back. We just turn the other cheek. Now, what does it mean to turn the other cheek? Last week, my focus was mainly on the non-retaliation side, the negative side. But I think it turning the other cheek implies more than that, especially in this context. Jesus doesn't say, if someone strikes you on the cheek, just walk away. Usually people, when people think of turning the other cheek, that's kind of what they think of. Just walk away. When someone offends you, insults you, hurts your feelings, Jesus doesn't say walk away from them, retreat from them. He says turn the other cheek to them. In other words, give them another opportunity to hurt you. Give them another chance to hurt your feelings. Our natural reaction is to want to protect ourselves and retreat, guard ourselves from being hurt again. So we distance ourselves from the person, if not geographically, at least emotionally, so that we're safe. But Jesus says, no, when they slap you on the face once, expose your face to them again. Don't bail out on the relationship just because they hurt your feelings. Be willing to remain and be hurt again, risk being hurt again and again and again. Now, I'm not talking here about physical violence. I think the issue here is an offense, an insult. If there's physical violence, I believe Scripture permits you to flee. But if it's emotional abuse, we can just absorb it and be patient with the person and continue to show love. That's the attitude of people who love God, isn't it? It was the attitude of Abraham, who rushed to rescue Lot after Lot had taken the best land for himself. It was the attitude of Joseph, who generously forgave, tearfully forgave his brothers and welcomed them after they had sold him into slavery. It's the attitude of David, who honored Saul even as Saul was trying to kill him. And David, who wept bitterly when his enemies were sick and God didn't answer David's prayer to heal them. It's the attitude of Stephen, who lying crushed beneath the bloody stones asks for the sin of stoning not be held against them. It's the attitude of Paul, who said all of those who deserted him at his time of greatest need, may it not be held against them. It's the attitude of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, Father, forgive them. Now, you might hear all that and everything last week and just think, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, I've experienced this, all this emotional abuse. You just expect me to just lie there and take it? Just do nothing? Never fight back? Never resist? Never flee? Just sit there like just a wet noodle and do nothing? Just let it all happen to me and never respond? Never pay them back? No. No, you don't have to do that. That's not what I'm saying. That's going too far. In fact, you know what? Go ahead. Get some payback. It's all right. You can. You can go ahead. Just pay them back for what they did to you. And pour it on thick. Go ahead. It's okay. Learn to fight. Learn to fight back. And when you fight back, win. Don't lose. I mean, let's face it. You're going to get into fights. You're going to get into quarrels, arguments, disputes, conflicts. That's life. You're supposed to just lie there and do nothing? No. Just if someone hurts you, you can pay them back for what they did to you. That's okay. In fact, you must pay them back. You should always pay them back. You say, you mean Jesus allows for that? Yeah, I really looked hard into this text and I actually found a loophole in here that lets you pay them back. I did. Not only does Jesus allow some payback, he even gives us some specific examples of how to do it. How to pay the person back for what they did. One first example is in verse 39. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, how do you pay them back for an insult? Well, by giving them another opportunity to insult you. Verse 41, if someone forces you to go 1 mile, how do you pay someone back for that? Go with them 2 miles. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let them have your cloak as well. They take your tunic, how do you pay them back? You give them your cloak. Jesus is calling for payback. He's calling for us to repay evil with what? Good.
Has someone hurt you or insulted you or taken from you recently? Or is it happening right now? Ask God to show you what good you could repay them with to overcome their evil.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are a crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.